Hey guys, this is Mike Badano, and you're listening to Sarcastic Remarks on 365 Sportscast Radio Network.
Hey guys, welcome to Sarcastic Remarks. Along with Christian Chambers, I'm Brian, and we are here. I'm on the road outside in a parking lot in my car, because, you know, work happens. And we're going to have a conversation with I guess I can call you a super fan, right? Can I call you a super fan?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super fan, Dallas Stars, who happens to live in 2 hours outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. Is that what you said?
Yep.
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 And we're having a conversation with Josh Sanders. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing tonight? Appreciate you guys for having me on.
And we're glad that you joined us. So for those of you that don't know Josh or, you know, his significance as to why he's on here, for those of you that listen to this podcast and are also on the, I want to say Corey Perry, but it's not Corey Perry anymore, the Jason Robertson Fan Club and Hockey Talk group on Facebook, Josh is one of the admins, and he is constantly posting in that group. Lots of good stuff, and specifically, recently, and the reason why we're having him on is he said it's actually his favorite time of year. We're going to talk some draft stuff I almost said afternoon, but it's evening. It's evening, whatever.
It's full on nighttime out here.
I forgot. It's 9 o'clock out there, isn't it, for you?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to do a quick playoff update. Chris, I told you so about New York Islanders. I'm going to shove it in your face because go New York Islanders.
Bro, did you see the shots on goal for that game?
I know. And they got
44-19.
They got totally outplayed. It was not even close. And freaking Verlamov stole the game. So, all right. Well,
hockey is so dumb. Yeah,
we already got into it, so let's just go ahead and get started. All right, just quick playoff update. What the heck is going on with Montreal?
I think the Jets suck. I think all of Canada still sucks. They played 8 playoff games. Like, how many times has that happened ever? Where you only play 8 playoff games? That's such a strange number.
That's crazy.
Sweep and get swept. I want to know how many times that's happened.
Well,
we need James on here.
Yeah. Well, that happened like what, twice in the 2019 playoffs?
I don't know.
I tell you this right now. It doesn't matter who they play in the next round. I don't see Canada moving on. I think they get at worst 5 games by Colorado or Vegas.
Oh, see, that's exactly why I'm going against the flow and saying that Montreal is going to win, whoever it is, because it's going to be either Vegas or Colorado that they play. And honestly, I really think that it's going to be Vegas based off of game 5. But that's what I'm going Montreal all the way. I don't care. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but that's who's going to win.
See,
well,
go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I've already been proven wrong about Carey Price, so I can't say anything anymore. So sure, why not?
I don't care what he does in the playoffs. He's still a declining goalie. If somebody offered him to me in a trade right now, I'm not taking his $10 million contract. I don't care. Yeah. I don't care how well he does in the playoffs. He can be playoff Carey Price as much as he wants to. Jake Oettinger statistically had a better season this year than Carey Price.
That's true.
That's what I was saying, and I said that after their first series, and then they sweep the next team, and I look like an idiot.
Well, I don't know. To your credit, Chris, Carey Price was not as big a factor in the second round as he was in the first round. The only reason why they won against the Leafs is because, one, because the Leafs are freaking cursed, and they suck. But he was a factor in that series. And then the scary part about that second round series and why I don't think you can count Montreal out is because they won in different ways. They didn't rely on Carey Price for everything. And so that's why I'm not really going to go against him. I mean, I don't think Montreal is going to sweep again. That's not going to happen. But I can see them winning the series in 6 or 7.
Yeah.
They're a hot team, and they're the best. They're the hottest team right now, right? From what I'm seeing.
I think the reason that I'm, don't get me wrong, is I would love Montreal to win for no other reason than Corey Perry. But I think that the reason I'm kind of going against them is just I think that whoever they play in Vegas or Colorado, they're going to have to rely on Carey Price. And if Carey Price turns into regular season Carey Price, I think it's a quick series.
They're screwed.
If he turns into the Carey Price, if he's the Carey Price that won them the series against Toronto, I agree with you. I think they could win in six or seven games. It's just going to be dependent on which goalie shows up.
Yeah, the other team in the conference final series would just be on paper so much better than the Canadians. It would be a crazy upset.
All right, so
whereas the Jets aren't really. The Jets still suck.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think if you're the Winnipeg Jets. I don't know. It's like a freaking bipolar team. I mean, you sweep the Edmonton Oilers, which, I mean, the Oilers are not a – I mean, they're a playoff contender, but they're not a – I wouldn't say they're a cup contender. But they still had a decent team, and you never count out Connor McDavid. That's like saying you should count out Sidney Crosby.
I mean,
although
yeah.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, Sidney Crosby has lost out in the first round. What is it? Three years in a row in the first round?
Something like that. Yeah.
It's been a while, so maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
But the thing is, with Edmonton, I mean, you've got two players. You've got Draisaitl. You've got McDavid. And Klefbom's your best defenseman. He's out. So, I mean, I just they've got to get some more talent around McDavid. He's going to – I'm not going to say he's going to waste away in Edmonton or anything like that, but they're not a cup-contending team with just those two players. Like, they need to get him some help.
I just
crazy. How are you not a cup-contending team with the two best forwards
exactly.
of the decade?
Well, and we talked about this last time, Chris, with just the amount of, you know, high draft picks, and not just high draft picks, but number one overall draft picks that – the Oilers have gotten.
But that's not the issue. The issue is the guys around them just need to be mediocre, and they would be a cup contender. But they're not. They're terrible.
They need to have a team of third liners. They have McDavid and Draisaitl and a team of like AHL players, essentially. I mean,
yeah. Fill it up with Cogliano's and win every game.
All right. So let's just say this. Okay, so game six between Vegas and Colorado is tonight. Vegas came back in a very convincing manner. I know it never felt like they were out of that game in game five, especially when Colorado went up 2-0. But after that second goal happened, I thought that they would, you know, go flat like the Leafs did. But they fought back and won game six in overtime, and it didn't take long in overtime either. So, who wins the series between Vegas and Colorado? Who do y'all think?
I'll let you go first on this one, Chris.
First I think it's going to seven. And at that point, it's kind of a toss-up. I think it's going to be literally overtime in game seven. But I think it's going to be the Avalanche. I think they're going to squeak it by.
See, I'll take the opposite corner. I agree with you. I think it goes seven. I like Colorado tonight. I just... The Marc-Andre Fleury factor in Game 7 is what pushes Vegas over the top for me. I think it's a close game, but it just he's been here before, he's done it before. I just think that it's going to come down to Fleury versus Grubauer, and I give Fleury the edge.
Well, I'm going to go with Vegas, and I think the main reason why I'm thinking Vegas right at this point is one, because they won Game 5 and how they did it, but they've made Colorado, you know, look feeble at times, especially in game three and game four, and they won both of those games at home. And I mean, I've never been to Vegas, but I hope to go to Vegas one time and just be a part of that crowd, because that crowd is absolutely raucous. I mean, I would put them as one of the best fan bases, probably number two, directly behind the New York Islanders at this point. I think that the fans in Vegas will be the determining factor for game six and why Vegas wins tonight. So I think it's going to be Vegas against Montreal in the semifinals. We've never had to say that before. That's weird.
Bizarre.
To say. You know, it shouldn't be hard to choose between Vegas and Montreal, but for me, it kind of is. I'm kind of torn.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be Fleury versus Price. Which goalie shows up?
Yeah, and even if Fleury doesn't show up, they could still win.
Right, exactly. It's basically whether or not Price shows up at this point.
Yeah. He has to literally play like one of the best series ever, which he can do. He's probably one of the better goalies that has played recently, but
yeah.
Still.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't look like he's dominating. He's playing well,
right.
But he's not playing like Carey Price who got paid $10 million.
Right.
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 And then if Vegas wins the series, it will be quick. So I would say 4 or 5 games. I would even say they might sweep the Canadians. But if the Canadians win the series, it's going to take 6 or 7 games.
It's going to be a bloodbath if Montreal wins the series.
Yes, yeah. I mean, can you – and I've seen a lot of comparisons, especially on Twitter, to the 1993 Montreal Canadiens to this year's Canadiens. And a lot of people in Canada are getting very excited. And
well, that's just Canada.
Yeah. And they're getting excited because they have a team that actually made it to the semifinals this year.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. And they were guaranteed a team to make it to the semis this year, too. Right. So.
And they're still excited.
Exactly.
Right. And for those of you that don't understand the reference, 1993 was the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup. So it's been, what, 25 years? Something like that?
I'm 26, and that's older than me, so it would have been 28 years.
Yeah, so... And they haven't had that seems bizarre to me that they haven't had anybody win the cup in 26 years. They have 7 teams up there.
I will say though, I'm not gonna lie, it is honestly kind of funny at times to watch a Canadian team lose in the first round and just to watch that entire country melt down. Maple Leafs fans are the perfect description of that. When they blew
so much fun.
I think it was like a 4-1 lead to Boston in the third period. My gosh, this was back in the early 2010s, and they lost the series. Oh, my gosh. Reading the comments and watching that entire part of the country just implode, just the most entertaining thing I saw on social media for a long time.
Right, so
I had a buddy who literally stopped being a Toronto Maple Leafs fan at that point.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, it was crazy. Well, obviously, you never want to see it get to the point where, you know, you got the Vancouver riots and everything like that, but...
Just, was that 2011?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
But just watching fans just melt down, just, oh my gosh, there's nothing like it.
Well, you know, speaking of melting down, we already mentioned it, but Toronto completely melted down.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend too much time on Toronto because there so many people have already done it already. Right. But I would not envy Kyle Dubas's job right now.
No.
Because, I mean, what is he supposed to do? He literally, it's almost like he listened to the media at last off season, and he got any and all gritty guys / you know, veteran players to surround these guys with, and they still lose. And not to mention Jack Campbell comes out of nowhere. He has a cap hit of $1.5 million, which is exactly what, you know, Toronto needs with the, $40 million they've got tied up in 4 players?
Something like that, yeah.
And they still lose. They still lose.
Well, it shows how important goalies are, really, because you're going to spend that much money. They have probably the best roster second only to the Lightning of skaters, but their goalie just isn't a top-quality goalie. Like, the Canadiens are not, on paper, a great hockey team, but they have Carey Price, and for some reason he's deciding to play well, so they're in the semifinals. It just shows how important goaltending is. And
well, like I was talking to Ryan about before you hopped on, you look at what the Stars did last year on the way to the final in the bubble. That wasn't because they were the second best team in the NHL. That was because Anton Khudobin decided to get ungodly hot at the right time of the season. So, and I mean, you kind of saw it this year with the Stars. I mean, he came back down to normal. I'm not even going to say he had a bad season. He had an average season for a backup goaltender. But what you saw in him last year, I think a lot of Stars fans just wanted to see that again. And it's just like, I mean, you can't expect him to do that, you know, night in and night out. We're lucky we got it for, you know, a month and a half in the bubble.
So, you know, speaking of the Lightning, you know, I don't think any of it matters, honestly. The rest of the series, just basing it off of watching the Lightning play. I mean, they look scary good. I don't think any team stands a chance against the Lightning. And if there's anybody that can stop the firepower and the pure will of the Lightning, it's the New York Islanders, who they're going to be facing in the semifinals. So, does it honestly even matter who wins between Montreal or Vegas or Colorado? Because I think whoever Tampa Bay plays, they're screwed.
I'll give you a hot take here. I think the Islanders beat them.
Really?
I think this is going to be – I mean, this is pure offense versus pure defense. I mean, you got the number one defense in the NHL versus the number one offense in the NHL. I think it's going to come down to, you know, whether or not New York can get a couple pucks past Vasilevsky. Because if they can, I mean, they're going to be a team that can win these games, 2-1, 3-2 kind of games. They can hold Tampa Bay's offense in check. It's just whether or not they can get pucks past Vasilevsky. And I think that, I mean, I got him pegged right now as the top goalie in the NHL. I know that people are saying, you know, well, you know, Carey Price is playing out of his mind in the playoffs and everything. I still take Vasilevsky 10 times out of 10. So it'll be interesting to see, but I'm going with a bit of a hot take. I'm going to take the Islanders in seven.
That's why I don't think the Islanders are going to beat them, because I don't think they're going to get a couple past Vasilevsky. That's what's so scary about the Lightning, is because they can play both games.
Right.
Like, they don't play the defense great, but their goalie is good enough to make up for their average defense.
Right.
So I think they will be low scoring games, but I think Vasilevsky will take them through that series, and they'll be able to get through the defense. Their lineup is stacked. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it'll be Vasilevsky versus the Islanders defense. This is what it's going to come down to, essentially.
You know, this is the one thing that I'm not going to back the Islanders on. I think the Lightning are going to beat them. I think it is going to take six or seven games, but I still think Tampa Bay wins. I think it doesn't look like anybody's
even putting up a fight against them.
Yeah.
They're just sad games to watch. It's not even exciting. It's just they're getting rolled. The other team's getting rolled.
Yeah, I was expecting a much better series out of Carolina than what we got, and I was very upset. I was very sad when they took it to five, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, well, and honestly, I mean, their first two series both should have been better series than they were. Florida was a hot team coming into the postseason, and Carolina, I mean, had an offense that wasn't Tampa Bay, but it was probably the closest thing you're going to find in the NHL to Tampa Bay, outside of, you know, Colorado. But, you know, it just both those series, yeah, I mean – I definitely understand why Tampa should win the series, and if I'm a betting man, I'd probably put money on Tampa, but just, I don't know, something inside of me thinks that New York's going to find a way to squeak this one out.
You're on a podcast, and you're just gonna do a hot take. Why not?
Basically, yeah, exactly.
You're just trying to be remembered.
Exactly, right? Nobody remembers the person that picks Tampa, because they're expected to win.
Yep.
So.
I think that pretty much does it for the playoffs. Is there anything else you guys wanted to mention about the playoffs? What's going on?
Quick little update on the current game going on between Colorado and Vegas. They are tied at one, looks like, at the latter stages of the first period.
Oh, so. Two evenly matched teams, in my opinion. So.
Yep.
We'll see how all of this goes. All right, so let's get to this next part we wanted to ask you about, Josh.
Sure.
So Chris and I both talked about last episode about the expansion draft, and specifically with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go over the rules and stuff like that again, but I think it's safe to say that the Stars are going to go with a 7-3-1 format, right?
Rather correct. Than the if they don't, Neil should be fired.
Right. Yeah. So, and I think what I had, Chris and I were the exact same. Other than we switched one player, and I protected Dickinson, he protected Foxa, and we both made our cases about that and all that sort of stuff. But what's your take on all this Seattle expansion draft stuff? Who do the Stars protect, and then who do they more than likely lose?
All right, so let's can all be on the same page about defense and goalies, right?
Easy.
Bishop has to be protected because of his no movement clause. Right. You've got Lindell, Klingberg, Haskin on the defensive end. Just all right. So we're all in agreement there. If we're not, that's a whole different issue in discussion. But forward wise, obviously you're going to have Sagan, Ben, and Radulov just because of their contracts. I think Pavelski's contract was signed in order for him to be exposed at the expansion draft, but the way he played the last two seasons he was here,
you gotta protect
him. I don't think you can do that anymore. You have to protect him. You eat that $7 million cap hit for another season, so that's your fourth one right there. And then obviously Hintz and Gurianov are obvious choices for protection as well. So the way I'm looking at it now, right now, you've got Foxa, you've got Dickinson. And then a handful of, you know, Cogliano, Como, they're free agents. Tanner Caro is the other one. Like,
yeah,
it comes down to Dickinson or Foxa. And I've got Dickinson right now simply based on the fact that the Stars can't protect Foxa at this point. If they protect Foxa, they only have one forward that meets the NHL's expansion requirements. And that being Tanner Caro. They need that second forward to meet that requirement. So you either protect Foxa and you have to then leave either Pavelski, Gurionov, or Hintz unprotected, or you just leave Foxa unprotected. And I think of those four players, I just think that he's the clear choice there. So, and with who we currently have between Dickinson and Delandria, I think that we've got his role. His role is more easily replaceable on the team, in my opinion. So
you don't think there's any chance that Seattle takes Hudobin? Because there's a lot of media sites that are saying that they're going to take Hudobin, and I just don't see it.
I don't either, honestly. I mean, if the expansion draft was last offseason, he's the clear choice. But considering just kind of how he regressed this year, I mean, there's a handful of other goalies that I would take ahead of him. I mean, you got a couple goalies in Columbus to pick from. You're going to have Jake Allen out of Montreal. You're probably going to have Holtby available to you out of Vancouver. I mean, there's just a handful of goalies that I would take ahead of a 35-year-old Hudobin right now. So I think it's going to come down to whichever forward Dallas leaves unprotected, whether it be Foxa or Dickinson. I just think that's the route I'm going if I'm Seattle.
Yeah. Maybe we're just too close to the situation, and that's why we think Hudobin's not as good, but I don't know.
Right.
I've seen so many places that are taking Hudobin, and I'm thinking I'm crazy.
If they take him, I mean, it makes the Stars – that's the perfect scenario for Dallas because,
yeah.
I mean, like I was telling Ryan earlier, he has to be off the roster by the start of next season. Otherwise, yeah. You're running three goalies or Ottingers in the AHL. I mean, neither of those options are feasible for Dallas. So, I mean, Hudobin going to Seattle it makes Dallas's life a whole lot easier than having to find a trade partner. Because at that point, you trade Hudobin for whatever you can get. You just trade him to get him off your roster, essentially. So,
yeah. And I don't know if we could trade him without retaining something from his contract too. So, if you can get him taken to the expansion, they're going to take the whole contract.
Yep.
So. That's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, that's definitely a perfect scenario for Dallas. I'm skeptical about whether or not it'll actually happen.
Yeah.
Well, and it really would be perfect world scenario. We were talking about Saad Youssef's article on The Athletic,
mm-hmm.
and if they do take the contract, they're not only are they, you know, getting a goaltender that's probably not in the greatest shape as he was in the bubble playoffs, but they will also be doing the Stars a huge favor.
Right. Because,
I mean, perfect world scenario, we talked about all the numbers. The Stars could have up to $8 million in cap space, you know, with all the players they want signed and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So then that's perfect world scenario. But, I mean, even worst case scenario, we could have $4 or $5 million in cap space. So,
as long as Hudobin's off.
As long as Hudobin's off, yeah. If Hudobin's not off, then we're going to have to beg somebody to take him. So,
yeah. And at that point, I mean, if a team's willing to take him, but the Stars have to eat half his contract, then unfortunately the Stars have to eat half his contract.
Because, yeah.
I mean, like I said, the Stars are going to have, no leverage in Hudobin negotiations if he's not picked in the expansion draft.
Yeah.
So... But the good thing about that is if he's not picked in the expansion draft, there are a handful of teams that will need an NHL caliber backup goalie. I mean, Toronto's is probably not re-signing Freddie Anderson they don't have the money to do so. Vancouver is losing probably Holtby. I'm assuming they're going to protect Demko, so they'll need they'll need a backup goalie. I mean, New Jersey is going to run with Mackenzie Blackwood, but after him, they're pretty thin. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at teams that, you know, aside from New Jersey, but that could potentially be in the market for a goalie and that may be, you know, halfway competitive. Because if the NHL's shown you anything over the last couple of years, is that you need two competent goalies to run a season.
Yeah, it's expensive backup, though.
He is. He definitely is. But like I said, at that point, you retain half and just wipe your hands and thank God that somebody was able to take him off your hands for you.
So. All right. Well... we'll see what happens, and Seattle expansion draft is on July 21st, and the protected lists have to be submitted on July 17th.
Yeah.
So we'll see what the Stars do. We'll see where it goes.
It's gonna be interesting to see if the Stars were able to sign a forward by that expansion list, because if they are, that opens up Foxa to be protected. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But
I think that's the best option, because as far as faceoff guys go, we're running out.
True. Very true.
Well, and
right, now we can move.
Sorry
on,
about
right.
that.
Okay, it's okay. No, it's good. It's all good. All right, so let's really quickly talk Stars draft stuff.
Right.
Before we get into this year's draft, which we've called a crapshoot, Josh.
Very
I mean,
much
this
so.
This is just so much of a crapshoot year, just based off of. I mean, the OHL didn't even play this year. I mean, a lot of their teams in some of the other leagues that didn't even play, like in the QMJHL up in Canada. I mean, I don't even know what happened in Europe and those junior leagues over there. So before we ask about the Stars' possibility and who they should look at, what is your take on the Stars drafting? Because some people have said that, you know, the Stars are doing okay, and some people have said that they're not doing great at all, and then there's others that have said that they're doing above average. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could say that the Stars are excellent at drafting.
Right.
I don't believe that. But what's your feeling on that, and why?
So I think the Stars get a bad rap when it comes to drafting, honestly. I think that their fan base is, or most Stars fans are just, they think that Neil sucks at drafting and everything. And while I agree, he's not, you know, like, you, I mean, you nailed it spot on. We're not excellent at drafting. He is not the best drafting GM in the NHL. I think they're average. I mean, I think that, you know, everybody points to, you know, the what we've done with, you know, Jack Campbell's and Scott Glennie's, who weren't even his picks to begin with, but... you know, you look at some of the guys, you know, Brett Ritchie and everything like that. Nichushkin also comes up, Honka. Yeah, there are definitely some misses. I think the biggest miss, and if anybody, you know, has seen the stuff I post on Facebook, everybody's going to know who my biggest miss is, and that's Riley Tufte. I just look at, I mean, I was screaming from my roof for Alex DeBrincat, and it didn't quite happen. But if you look at, I mean, you look at what he did in, you know, 2017, and, you know, with, I mean, Heiskanen fell into his lap, so it's really hard to kind of commend him on that one when you get gifted a number three pick. But Jake Oettinger, Jason Robinson, both in that same draft. Heck, you even look back, I mean, you look at the Tufte draft. You got Rhett Gardner, you got Nick Camano. Both are, you know, bottom six caliber players. Before that, you had Gurianov and Hintz. Like, there are some solid draft picks in here that people are overlooking. People are looking at the misses as opposed to where he hit. It's a bit too early to kind of I still think it's too early to look at 2018, 2019, 2020, but you look at some of the players in that. Damiani had a phenomenal year down in the AHL this year. I think Delandria is on the cusp of making a legitimate NHL contribution. Obviously, you got Harley and Bork that should be along sooner rather than later as well. I mean, I think that Nil's done a decent job drafting. I think that, like I said, people are looking at his early drafts and, you know, the Honkas and the Tufties and stuff like that, and they're failing to recognize that over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, he's actually done significantly better. He's done a lot better for the organization than he did in those first couple years. So, I mean, give credit where it's due. He's done well. I think that right now, I think his goal should be just restocking our pipeline at this point. We've got a good core of young players. We just need to have players behind them that can come up and fill those roster spots when guys like Ben, Sagan, Radulov, their contracts fall off the books.
Yeah, that was my exact feeling for how Neil's been drafting as well. His first couple seasons were pretty bad. And I feel like another big reason of why you see those is because of how obvious they are. Like, the Nichushkin one and the not getting DeBrincat is really, like, kind of in your face.
Right.
So those are pretty huge misses. But especially as of recently, he's had a lot of good hits. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that pretty much through and through.
Yeah, I mean, just, like I said, I mean, I still don't think Nichushkin's an awful pick. I'm not a fan of him in the first round. I think in the first round, obviously, you want to see more out of him. But, I mean, he's consistently one of the best defensive forwards in the NHL year in and year out at this point. My big thing is, I mean, you look at people saying, oh, you should have drafted this guy, you should have drafted that guy, when, you know, back during that draft year, nobody knew that, you know, David Pastrnak was going to turn into what he is today. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. So, I mean, like I said, I mean, I joke around a lot about Alex DeBrincat just because, you know, I thought it was, you know, clearly obvious and everything like that. But, you know, I'm just one person. You know, most of the NHL world didn't agree with me during that point in time. And it's just, that's just the way it goes. So I'm sure that, you know, I've got a few guys that I would love for Nil to draft this year. There's a very good chance he won't, and there's a very good chance I rip him for it just because I'm selfish and I want him to take my guys. But, you know, outside of that, you know, it's all a wait-and-see kind of game. So, I mean, you look at guys in the – I mean, Ben and Klingberg were both fifth-round picks. I mean, nobody's predicting that. So, I think that – and this year's going to be huge for it. It's going to be about finding those diamonds in the later rounds.
Well, and if there's any year that you can get a diamond in the rough, you know – sixth, seventh round, this is the year.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, there's just not much going on when it comes to scouting reports and stuff like that.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know how much you've got on the later rounds, but I know that you've got a lot of good possibilities for the Stars for the first round, for sure. Mm-hmm. So the Stars have the 14th overall pick. Do they just take the best player that's available? Well, I mean, as much as we can say the best player available, because we don't really know. Or do the Stars go out and pick somebody specific? And if you have any specific players in mind, who should the Stars look at taking?
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you're looking at – if people say that they've got, you know, 4 and 5 and 6 rounds of, you know, research done, just discredit them. I mean, once you get past the first and – I'll give you most of the second round. It's a crapshoot after that. Everything after that is all just, I mean, most NHL teams probably don't watch films on the guys that you find in the fifth round. But in terms of the Stars draft at 14 overall, there are a handful of choices that Dallas could take that would benefit them. I think that right now their top three needs as an organization. This isn't necessarily just their NHL needs, but organizational needs. They need that 200-foot two-way center. They need Foxa from 3 years ago, but he can actually score in the other end of the ice as well. They need a top four caliber right shot defenseman in their organization. Right now, you take Klingberg off the roster. The only three right shot defensemen we currently have signed to contracts are Taylor Fadun, Joe Ciccone, and Dawson Bartow. The last two of which will likely never see the NHL. So they need some serious help on the right side, just as organizational depth. And then honestly, I would love to see my third team need for them would be a top six, just goal scoring right winger. Get somebody to replace Radulov when his contract's up. Get somebody on the right side of that offense. And the first that might I've got a guy going in the probably the top, you know, 7 or 8 that very well could fall to Dallas, and that's Mason McTavish. Center out of, I believe it's Peterborough in the OHL. They didn't play this year. He spent his season over in the Swiss League. But the dude is, if you're looking for anybody that's close to Ryan O'Reilly up in St. Louis, it's Mason McTavish. The dude can play a 200-foot game better than just about anybody in this draft right now. He scores, he's physical, can play defense on the back end. I mean, he's the penultimate top six center, he's the prime top six center, a two way center in this draft. If anybody's, like I said, got the potential for, you know, Ryan O'Reilly or Sean Couturier up in Philly, those are the first two that come to mind. I think it's McTavish, and if he's on the board at 14, if I'm Nil, I skip to the podium singing and dancing, because there's no way he should be there at that point in time. Outside of that, you know, you've got Corson Suleman's right shot defenseman. He's the only.
He's the one I've seen a lot of people say that the Stars are probably going to end up getting.
And I'd be okay with that. I take McTavish over him, but if we ended up going with Suleman's, I think that's fine. He is playing on the same team in the same league as Cale Makar when he was in juniors, and he's drawing some comparisons to Makar just off his play style. Now, I wouldn't say that he is the next Cale Makar. I think that's a bit too lofty, but he's very – I would put him closer to the right-handed version of Thomas Harley, essentially. And he is the only right D that I would take at 14, unless Brant Clark by some miracle falls to us, which he won't. He's going to be gone in the top four. I don't even see another right-shot defenseman going in the first round after Suleman. So if he's gone – I don't even bother with that position until the later rounds. But then honestly the guy I've got right below McTavish is going to be right winger Chaz Lucius. He's currently playing center for Team USA, their development program, but he's probably going to switch over to wing if I had to guess by the time he gets to the NHL. And I mean, the guy is the nastiest net front presence you'll find in this draft. His hands in tight and the way he can maneuver the puck, it's second to none. I would kill to have those hands and just that offensive talent on my roster. So those are the three prime pieces that I would be targeting at 14. And then there are a handful of other pieces as well. If those three are off the board, that I would consider at that point.
Okay, so let's just say that all three of those guys are off the board at that point, which it probably won't happen. When I look at the draft and I compare with those three guys, you know, I don't see all three of them being taken before pick number 14. Right. But if that does happen, who do the Stars go after at that point?
So, and I agree with you. I don't think all three are gone. I think that McTavish and Lucius are probably both gone, but I think that Suleimans will still be on the board. But after those three, I've got guys like Cole Sillinger, Nikita Chibrikov, and I've even got Atu Rathi up here. Rathi for the longest time, he was the number one overall pick in this draft. He was the guy that everybody thought was going to go number one. There's really not going to be any conversation about it. He was the guy, they were scouting him 2 years back, and, you know, he was this year's, you know, Nolan Patrick, Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, he was the surefire thing. And then over the last year and a half, his draft stock has just plummeted. He's had some pretty bad seasons over in Finland. He wasn't invited to their World Juniors team. A lot of it is,
A
lot of it is, yeah, it was tough. It wasn't a good look, which is why I actually have him lower on my board than I think a lot of people do. But a lot of it, I think, is motivation. I think that he's kind of, you know, going through the motions over there in Finland. So I think that if a team's able to draft him and they're able to kind of coax that, they're able to, you know, instill that motivation in him, I think you could see that guy that was projected to go number one overall at some point. He's probably the highest risk, highest reward player I've got on my list, just because, like I said, he has the potential to, you know, pull a Scott Glennie and just, you know, never really see any NHL time whatsoever. Or, like I said, he could, you know, somehow find that spark that pushes him to be, you know, a top line center in the NHL. So, but outside of that, Cole Sillinger, probably the best shot in this draft class. I mean, the dude, all the dude does is snipe. If you think Gurianov has a great shot, I would put Sillinger's up there pretty close to his. I mean, the guy can snipe it from anywhere in the offensive zone. Wrist shot, slap shot, snapshot, and anything you're looking for, he's got it in his arsenal, and he does it well. The biggest drawback on him is going to be the same thing that kind of killed Robertson's draft stock. It's his skating. It's improved this year, but he's got another 2-3 years of development just on his skating alone before he's ready for professional hockey. And that's why I've dropped him on my list a little bit. If he is, like I said, if the other three are gone, I wouldn't mind him at 14, but there are just too many question marks surrounding his skating. Thankfully, Robertson was able to pull it off and make an impact at the NHL level. But, you know, there are plenty of instances where a guy can have, you know, insane offensive talents but never actually make the NHL just simply because he can't keep up. And that's like I said, it's just gonna be risk versus reward kind of thing. Last guy I'll touch on is Nikita Chibrikov, and he is probably the best. I would have him as the best Russian in the draft currently. And he's going to be more of the playmaking style. He is going to be rope by hints without the scoring touch. And he can score, but his primary play style is setting up his teammates and getting into high danger areas on the ice. His skating he's a very solid skater. Plays well at both ends of the ice. Strong defensively, and he's going to be on the right side of the ice. He would fit that right wing need that Dallas is looking for as well. So, at the end of the day, it really kind of depends on what Nil thinks our biggest need is. Typically, I'm a fan of going best player available with your first overall pick. So I think that any of the first three that I mentioned, if any of those three are on the board, it's you know, who does Nil thinks the best. And if they're gone, you know, just follow suit. If Nil takes a goalie or a left shot defenseman, though, I'm probably going to, you know, start punching a wall or something like that, because we don't need a goalie. We have so many left shot defensemen in our organization right now. Like, I want to fill some of the I want to fill some of the holes that we need to fill. But like I said, I'm setting myself up to be disappointed, because it usually happens during draft time for me. I'm bitter about DeBrincat. I'm still bitter about Arthur Kalia from a couple years ago, but, you know, I'll get over it at some point, maybe.
You know, I really didn't know about Kaliev until the World Juniors. up in, was it Edmonton?
Yeah.
I think that is where they had it.
That hurt and, to watch.
Yeah, just watching him play with Zegras, I was just like, oh, man.
Yeah. That's it was hard to watch. The NHL is Trevor Zegras. Oh, my gosh, the kid's so good.
Yep, he is very good, yeah. And, I mean, I'm happy they're Americans and everything, but I'm not looking forward to when the Stars have to start heading back out to the West Coast again next season.
No.
And, you know, Drysdale, too. Drysdale looks like he's going to make the NHL as well.
And
so.
Anaheim and L.A. both. The Kings have some solid young players as well. So I think that they're going to be annoying out in the Pacific for a bit here in the next couple of years. So.
Well, I think that's it. Anything else, guys? Anything else y'all want to talk about? Chris, you got something?
No, I got nothing. I don't do enough research on this kind of stuff. I'll let y'all do that. Y'all tell me who's good.
Everybody except for a goalie and a left shot defenseman. We draft one of those. I'm driving to Dallas. I'm gonna have a chat with Neil myself. That's just we can't have that happen.
Well, and you know, I'm not sure if this is right or not, but Cole Sillinger, I believe, is the son of Mike Sillinger.
He is.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought.
NHL pedigree.
And Mike played for Columbus, right? In their early years.
Early years, correct?
Yeah, very early years. Like I think he. I don't want to say he was one of the expansion players, but I think he was in the early 2000s. He played for Columbus. So, you know, kind of cool. There's some.
Actually, no, he didn't play for Columbus. Wow. I'm looking at it
right
now.
Oh, I thought he did.
He played for Detroit. He played for Vancouver, Philly, and Tampa. And Florida. He played for Florida for a year as well.
Oh, well.
Oh, wait.
That's what I get for just assuming.
No, you're right. I expanded the list. He also played for Columbus. 01 to 03. Yep.
All right. So. Okay, so I'm not as crazy. I thought my mind was
I was about was to say no. I was almost positive he played for Columbus. And I'm like looking at I got his sheet pulled up right now, and it cuts off at 2000-2001. I'm like that's not right, and I didn't even see that it expanded onto the next page. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. So,
well, Josh, thanks, man. You gave us a lot more information than we could have ever looked up. So thank you again for joining us. Hope you had fun, and we definitely did.
Hey, no, I appreciate you guys for having me on. Always down to hop on a podcast and talk some hockey. Next time we'll get Sam on so that I can make fun of his height a little bit.
Yeah, get the Hobbit on here. Here we can talk some short players, some Martin St. Louis and Cole Caulfield like guys.
Alex DeBrincat. I'm still
yeah,
I'm still
Alex DeBrincat.
You know, whatever. It's all right. So.
All right. Thanks again, Josh, for joining us. Thank you, audience, for tuning in. Hopefully, that was a good update for y'all and who we should expect the Stars should take in this upcoming draft. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening. Along with Christian and Josh, I'm Ryan. We will catch you guys again on the flip side. Make sure that you guys follow us on all the Twittergrams and Snapbooks and all that other stuff. So, Chris, you want the last word?
Word.
Or you want to start singing? Na 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 again? No.
You're punk.
Hit with that Aggie Fight right. Song.
Yeah. Da da. Oh, gosh. Okay, well, I'm going to end this now before it gets anywhere. Good night, guys. Thank you again.